Welcome to Harmonia. I'm Angela Mariani, inviting you to join me for the next hour as today's performers of medieval, Renaissance, and Baroque music bring to life the music of the distant past. Nowadays, one popular, if incorrect, image of an organist is a humble old man or woman who totters to church to hammer through hymns. But this hasn't always been the case. Coming up, we'll hear music by some cranky organists from Restoration England who are known for their prickliness and defiance. We'll also continue our look at the 17th century theorist Athanasius Kircher, and we'll feature music on a recent recording by Chatham Baroque.
Thank you.
We heard the Adagio and Vivace movements from Bach's Sonata in G Major for Violin and Basso Continuo, performed by Chatham Baroque from their 2013 release entitled Bach and Before. The sonata is relatively new to the known Bach repertory, as it was rediscovered only in 1929 in a collection in Eisenach. One interesting thing about this piece is that the bass line is nearly identical to another of Bach's works, a trio sonata for violin and flute. Stay tuned. We'll be hearing more from Chatham Baroque later in the program. For a scholar, the German Jesuit Athanasius Kircher got a great deal wrong. Authoring over 30 works in the mid-1700s, Kircher lovingly catalogued the fanciful, the crackpot, and the half-true. Take, for example, the Central American sloth. In Kircher's writing, a kind of ape which, quote, perfectly intones the first elements of music. Or Kircher's statement that magnetic forces compel the sun to revolve around the earth. Later scholars have judged Kircher harshly. In 1906, John Ferguson wrote of Kircher that, quote, his works in number, bulk, and uselessness are not surpassed in the whole field of learning. But Kircher's writings, especially on music, are full of hints about music-making in his time and place. In his 1650 treatise Musurgia Universalis, Kircher includes a detailed illustrated catalog of instruments played in his day. Of these, one of Kircher's favorites was the organ. In one memorable passage, he used an organ to portray the creation of the world, with each of the six creation days described in Genesis corresponding to a stop on the organ. Thus God's eternal wisdom plays in the sphere of the worlds, Kircher wrote. Let's hear organ music from Kircher's sphere.
Thank you.
Music for organ from the time of the jack-of-all-trades Athanasius Kircher. We heard a piece called Tarantella Ottava Siciliana from Kircher's treatise on magnetism, Magne Sive de Arte Magnetica. And before that, we heard a piece from a composer Kircher admired, Girolamo Frescobaldi's Toccata Quinta Sopra I Pedali e Senza. Lou Taminga played the organ. Kircher may have loved the organ, but he gave each instrument family a thorough going over, cataloging such little-known plucked instruments as the tortoise and the mandora, as well as wind and stringed instruments better known today. Among these was the natural trumpet, which Kircher held up as proof of his musical theories, quote, "You see, therefore, how much nature abhors dissonances, so that the trumpet would rather burst than allow them." Let's hear some Italian music for natural trumpet by Girolamo Fantini.
Thank you.
music by 17th century trumpet composer Girolamo Fantini. We heard an entrata played by Igino Conforzi and friends. Of course, Kircher, being Kircher, wasn't content with reality. Scholar David Whitwell notes that Kircher included in his treatise a tale, no pun intended, about a cat organ, which is pretty much what it sounds like. The story goes something like this. An actor was trying to cheer up a sad prince, so he gathered together some cats and put them in a specially designed box. He secured their tails through holes in the box, arranging them, quote, tonally according to their different sizes. He added keys fitted with sharp points instead of mallets, and, well, Kircher goes on to describe what happened when the instrument was played and the cat's tails were pricked. Quote, they, driven to a rage, with miserable voices, howling, now low, now high, produced such music made of the voices of cats as would move men to laughter and even arouse shrews to dance. Not very funny, actually. My cat will probably shun me this evening for even telling such a story. And no, we will not be hearing any cat organ on this program. But Kircher is also thought to be the first person to describe making music using drinking glasses, so he would probably appreciate this next piece, a minuet in G by Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, performed by the drinking glass virtuoso Erik Hansen. Music for drinking glasses, an instrument described in the 1600s by Athanasius Kircher. We heard a Mozart minuet performed by Erik Hansen. You can become a fan of Harmonia Early Music on Facebook. Just search for Harmonia. We've finished our look at one eccentric organist, and now we'll go on to meet some cranky ones. The popular image of the organist is almost beatific, but not very accurate. A humble old man, or perhaps a little old lady, who totters to church week in and week out to hammer through hymns. In Restoration England, though, things were a little different, as scholar Ian Spink describes in his recent book, Restoration Cathedral Music. According to Spink, quote, 17th century cathedral organists seem to have been a troublesome bunch, frequently quarrelsome and insubordinate, or simply lazy and incompetent, sometimes apparently pathologically defiant of authority and morally depraved. What drove these men to depravity? Spink suggests that low wages and annoying bosses, quote, helped to exacerbate natural prickliness and, in some cases, mental instability. We'll embrace prickliness in our next pieces, compositions by men employed as organists during the 17th century. Let's begin with music by Thomas Wilkes. Wilkes was serving as organist at Chichester Cathedral in 1613 when he was charged with public drunkenness. Wilkes had a history of unexcused absences, and he was cited to the bishop as, quote, noted and famed for a common drunkard and notorious swearer and blasphemer.
Since Robin Hood made Mary Ann and little John are gone, the hobby horse was wise, forgot when Candy does alone. Since Robin Hood made Mary Ann and little John are gone, the hobby horse was wise, forgot when Candy does alone. He did labor after the table for to dance them into France, for to dance them into France. He he did labor after the table for to dance them into France, for to dance them into France. Come, silly jackpot, fills on the back, or bring the wild house on the fire. This is the way the wind has it, do not stay shut in it before I drank none good today. Come, Sirrah Jacko, fill some tobacco, bring a while on some fire. Haste, the waste away, quick as it can do, must stay shut in it before I drink none good today. I swear that this tobacco, it's perfectly dialed, by the very, very mass, never was better killed than it's healed by the blood for the plant. It is very, very good, it is very good. I swear that this tobacco, it's perfectly dialed, by the very, very mass, never was better killed than is healed by the rule for the plant. It is very, very good, it is very good. Fill the pipe once more, my brain's now strange, for it is very high, I am giddy, my head's back, it brings joints, and this comes from pins, it doth well purge and make clean. Fill the pipe once more, my brain sounds strange, for it is very high, I am giddy, my head and brains bends back and makes joints, and makes fronts for beans, it of well purge and make clean. Then those that do condemn it, or such as won't commend it, never was so wise to learn good tobacco to be served, let them go like a pro, and not go as I do, the sweet of Trinidad. Then those that do condemn it, or such as won't commend it, never was the wise to learn good tobacco to discern, let them go like a crow, and not go as I do, the sweet of Trinidad.
We heard two madrigals by Thomas Wilkes, organist, drunkard, and composer. The King's Singers performed Since Robin Hood, followed by Wilkes' immortal ode to vice, Come Sirrah Jack Ho. You're You're listening to Harmonia, a program of early music that comes to you from the studios of WFIU at Indiana University. Partial support for Harmonia comes from Penco Incorporated of Bedford, Indiana. Partial support also comes from Early Music America, presenting EMA's annual Young Performers Festival on the web at earlymusic.org. I'm Angela Mariani. Welcome back. We're listening to work by some 17th century organists known for their ill tempers. For sheer curmudgeonliness, it was difficult to outdo composer, organist, and priest Christopher Tye. According to the diarist Anthony Wood, quote, Dr. Tye was a peevish and humorsome man, especially in his latter days, and sometimes playing on the organ in the chapel of Queen Elizabeth, which contained much music but little delight to the ear, she would send the verger to tell him he played out of tune, whereupon he sent word that her ears were out of tune. When it came to tormenting his queen, Tye did not restrict himself to organ music. He was a master at composing for both choir and consort, as we'll hear in these two pieces.
Thank you.
Two pieces by the peevish organist, priest, and composer Christopher Tai. First, we heard Jordi Savall leading a viol consort piece, O Lux, for five players, played by Hesperion 20. And after that, the choir of Magdalen College sang Praise Ye the Lord, Ye Children. Organist and composer Matthew Locke dueled in his youth and upbraided fellow musicians for their perceived deficiencies. But Locke's biggest claim to fame was engaging in a bitter, no-holds-barred war of letters with fellow scholar Thomas Salmon, whom he called, among other names, sparrow-nosed and hunchbacked. Let's hear organ music by Matthew Locke for double organ from his treatise Melathesia. We heard music for organ by Matthew Locke from his treatise Melathesia, played by Terence Charleston. Life as an organist seems to have been especially unhappy for Jeremiah Clark. 3 years after being sworn in as joint organist of the Chapel Royal, a prestigious position if there ever was one, Clark shot himself to death. Gossip put it down to a mental break following an unfortunate love affair. It's perhaps particularly cruel, then, that Clark is known today almost exclusively for his Prince of Denmark's March, a wedding stalwart featured on countless albums with names like The Perfect Autumn Wedding and True Romance. Two tributes to love by the suicidal organist and composer Jeremiah Clark. We heard The Prince of Denmark's March, played by Mary Jane Newman and the soloists of the Musica Antiqua New York, followed by Carolyn Sinclair singing another tribute to Eros, the magical So Sweet the Charms of Love. You can find hundreds of archived episodes, playlists, and podcasts online at harmoniaearlymusic.org. This week we're featuring a recording from the Pittsburgh-based ensemble Chatham Baroque. Titled Bach and Before, their 2013 release contains works by composers who championed the so-called Stilus Fantasticus. Rooted in the practice of virtuosic organ improvisation, the fantastic style, to paraphrase our friend Athanasius Kircher just once more, was music composed to be free, unbound, and unrestrained. Johann Mattheson later described the style as something, quote, now swift, now hesitating, without measure of sound, but not without the intent to please, to overtake, and to astonish. Stilus Fantasticus flourished in Austria, in particular at the Viennese court, where the Italian-born composer Antonio Bertali lived and worked for most of his life. That was a sonata by Antonio Bertali, composed in the Stilus Fantasticus. We heard a performance by Andrew Fouts, Patricia Halverson, and Scott Pauley of Chatham Baroque, with guest Adam Pearl, from their recent CD Bach and Before. Learn more about recent early music releases on the Harmonia Early Music Podcast. You can subscribe on iTunes or at harmoniaearlymusic.org. Harmonia is a production of WFIU and part of the educational mission of Indiana University. Additional resources come from the William and Gail Cook Music Library at the Indiana University Jacobs School of Music. We welcome your thoughts about any part of this program or about early music in general. You can leave a comment or question anytime by visiting harmoniaearlymusic.org and clicking on Contact. The writers for this edition of Harmonia are Ann Timberlake and Janelle Davis. Thanks to our studio engineer, Mike Pashkash, and our staff, David Wood, John Bailey, Elizabeth Clark, and Heidi Siebers. Additional technical support comes from KTTZ at Texas Tech University in Lubbock, Texas. Our producer is Luann Johnson, and I'm Angela Mariani, inviting you to join us again for the next edition of Harmonia.